Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Ereš intervjuju, v katerem gostimo Ano Pavlovo, bolje poznano pod pseudonimom Soft Matter. Ana se je rodila in odraščala v Moskvi, svojo glasbeno pot pa je začela v Kanadi. Trenutno prebiva v Berlinu, odkuder bo danes prispela v klub Channel Zero, kjer bo odvrtela svoj set v sklopu dogodka Strom Liquidation v organizaciji kolektiva Nimaš izbire. Je producentka, vokalistka, DJ-ka in multidisciplinarna umetnica, ki ustvarja predvsem v miljeju eksperimentalne elektronske glasbe.
Hey, Anna, nice to finally get you on air. And I want to start this interview with the question about like your formative years and your introduction to music in the beginning. So what were you drawn to, and maybe who were some of your early champions in music?
Right. Well, first of all, great to meet you too. Thank you for having me. My formative years in music, I think the first encounter with music for me was just a kids' choir, where I was, started to sing for the first time. But it wasn't necessarily, you know, the most serious kind of introduction into music. I learned piano a little bit later and found it quite boring, so I couldn't do it for longer than 2 years. But I did record tapes of my compositions with the two-year knowledge of music theory that I learned, and I would send it to my dad. These tapes are somewhere still, you know, like one of those old recorders, the cassette recorders that were popular. I had one of those. And I think I just kind of tried to learn guitar later, but then I was in bands as a vocalist, like all these pop punk bands. That was a fun time. And at some point I just met a guy who was an audio technician, and he told me about Ableton, where you can actually just do any type of kind of create any instrument and drums and just any type of line with just a MIDI keyboard. And so I borrowed the MIDI keyboard from him, and that was kind of my first experience creating something by myself in Ableton. That was, in 2012 or 2013. And then just my entire life changed since then. It was just magic from then on, let's just say.
Amazing. And this was already, so you were born in Moscow and then you moved to Canada.
Yeah, exactly. I was born and raised in Moscow, and then I studied there, and then I moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm. So these early experiences were still kind of Moscow based, or was it already
this was just like the beginning, me kind of dabbling with music. That was still in Moscow, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And when did you then move to Canada?
That was in 2014, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've been there for quite some time now.
Quite some time, exactly. I mean, now I'm in Berlin, which is a great city for me to be in. But basically most of my creative practice happened while I was in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something I wanted to touch upon a little bit, like moving abroad and moving away from home. Like, how was that treating you? You know, how did you find life in Canada different from your early years, and what was like the pluses or minuses of that?
Right. I mean, I felt very safe in Canada, which I think helped me to express myself better. That's not exactly the experience I had, you know, in Russia. One of the reasons I moved. And I think just having this support, because I also studied music industry arts in Ottawa in Canada when I moved. I think just having that support and people that were very welcoming to me as an immigrant, and not looking at me as this, you know, like foreign person and questioning why I came, being actually very friendly, that helped. And yeah, I think as an artist, it's very important to feel that you can have the space where you feel safe to express what you want to express. Different artists, different people channel their own kind of ways of existence and I guess processing reality through their art. And some really need a lot of, you know, different people need different type of stimulus. I think for me, it was important to just feel kind of have like a calm, safe space for myself where I could, you know, feel the feelings and express them basically. So yeah, I think that's why it kind of started growing, just my creative practice. Yeah. From then.
Mm-hmm. And is like you mentioned, you were in school there, but like, then after school becoming like a freelancing professional in the music industry, do you find that there's like a difference, or like how's the scene in general? Like, are there artists kind of helping each other out? Is it easy to network and to find work, especially in music, or not so much? And that is like, maybe we can talk about Berlin, but to first just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. Well, I think in Canada, it depends what city we are looking at, because I lived in Toronto. Well, I lived in Ottawa, in Toronto, then I moved to Montreal. And I'd say the best community for me that I found the most supportive and also open-minded and quite bold in the ideas that they were trying to express was in Montreal, which is what I would actually call my home in Canada. I would also say Toronto is, any city actually is easy to network in Canada. People overall are quite open and curious about you, which is a great thing. But then the cities have very different qualities to them. Toronto is more capital driven, so that would also reflect in the way many people produce their work. And this is my personal opinion. I do think that, you know, the environment, of course, affects how you want to express yourself in the world. And I think if financial aspect is important, it will also reflect in the type of art, maybe for some people that they do, because it is, you know, we all need to pay our bills. But I do think that in terms of finding freelance work, it really depends on what it is that you're doing. Are you just looking for, you know, doing, let's say, scores for film, or are you looking to be an audio technician, which I actually worked as an audio technician, and that's the type of work that's, I'd say, is not hard to break into. It really depends, yeah, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now if we go a little bit back into the whole creative process, like we mentioned before, you discovered Ableton and then kind of everything skyrocketed from there. But what is your creative process like? How do you approach creating music?
For me, it's really intuitive. I think I just, because I don't have any formal, well, just a little bit, yeah, the 2 years of my unsuccessful piano lessons, that's all I have in terms of the classical training, but I don't really have it. So it's quite intuitive, and it's based on exploration, experimenting with sound and sound design, trying different things, working with samples, working with my voice a lot, because my music is quite vocal centered at this point. And I'm more of a like producer than a jammer, you know. I kind of sit down and I'm intentionally working on a track or two or three at the same time. I don't like have a long session where I'm just jamming on synths. I used to have those, and it was fun at the time, but now it's kind of all just going and flowing. And yeah, I do think that sometimes I feel like it's just, you know, I'm like this channel of some idea that comes, and I need to kind of run after it to capture it, you know, if that makes sense. So I don't necessarily sit down and wait for something to come. It's just coming, and I'm catching it, basically. That's how, you know, it's happening, the best way I can put it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think I was reading about this, I think it was Dylan or somebody who was saying that, like, the best melodies come when you drive in a car and you have no way to write it down, or before you go to bed, you know, you just
kind of... Yes, I've had those actually, just right when I'm about to fall asleep. I have like entire track in my mind actually. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to capture the entire track with the bass and the drums and the vocal lines? So I'm just trying to hum something in my recorder, the voice notes on my iPhone. I hope no one ever goes there to listen to what's all my raw ideas there. But yeah, it's really true. It's just like that. And, you know, when you're in the studio a lot, then you have a lot to kind of, you have many tools to capture your ideas, but it's not, we're not in studio all the time, even though I'm kind of, yeah, quite a studio dweller lately, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you do most of the stuff like from your own home, or you go to like big studios as well to work on stuff?
I don't go to big studios. I used to share studios with other people, you know, where you can just go really loud and it's soundproof and it's better for recording vocals. And there's no like fancy gear, but it's just still better to be able to go really loud and maybe also further from home, where you can just focus on your practice and without any temptation to go somewhere or go out or meet somebody. But now I'm just at home working on my music, and I think I really enjoy that. It's my cave.
That's amazing to hear. So, but what prompted the move to Berlin?
Right. I, you know, for the first time when I came to Berlin as an adult in 2019, I just completely fell in love with the city, and I just wanted to do the move sooner, but there were certain things I had to be in Canada for, and my job and just the other things I had to finish. But it's of course the kind of city of, I think, people who in some sense felt like outsiders where they were born, maybe, you know, and find themselves feeling very belonging here. I think I'm just, that's how I felt about the city personally. You know, this energy just makes me feel very alive in a sense. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. I leave my apartment, I go outside and I feel just happy by kind of like, yeah, just how the city makes me feel. But let's see, I'm quite relatively new here, but I've talked to other people and it's a shared, I think, story that we have from, you know, people that have moved here from other countries or even cities in Germany.
Yeah, it's like a big mixing pot. But you get, but there's a lot of good different restaurants with like food from all over the world, which that's something I really liked in Berlin. But did you find it difficult to sort of restart the whole networking process, or did you have some contacts before arriving to, so like was the move kind of strategic, or did you just decide intuitively to go to Berlin?
Right. I actually got pretty lucky because I released my second EP and I came to Europe to play some shows. And through the label Infinite Machine, I met other artists who have also released on that label, and they were in Berlin, based in Berlin. So I met them, and then I met a lot of other people that year. And I think that was kind of that became my friend group when I also moved here. And I normally find it pretty easy. I think it's just I find people pretty great, to be honest, in the music and the art scene in Berlin. Yeah, the community I find quite welcoming and very talented, very inspiring too.
Mm-hmm. Is there like any obvious points that how, for instance, Berlin it differs from Montreal in terms of what you were able to do there or the safetiness that you were mentioning in the beginning?
That's a very good question. Montreal would be more safe just because Canada is more safe overall, I think, and it's just a bit on this kind of island on its own. I mean, not literally, but it's kind of, you know, north there, and people are just in their own bubble in a way. And in Berlin, there's every big artist is going to go through the city. There's a lot of tourism, a lot of residencies. It's just like a, you know, kind of boiling pot. Everything is happening. And in that sense, there's just more, more events, more artists. I'd say people are quite bold with what they want to express. And I think because of the cultural exchange that's happening, and that's not necessarily maybe Berlin, but I can only speak for Berlin. I think because of the cultural exchange and lots of touring artists passing through the city, it does, it like creates this sort of magic, I'd say, that is, you can feel it when you go to events, and it's kind of feeding, I think, all of us creatives here who are just like going from one event to another and then going back to our studios and creating something. And it feels very nurturing. But that's to me, you know. I think, yeah, people have different experiences in Berlin for sure. I've definitely, and I'm sure you too, heard of many stories. But I think compared, like the biggest point to compare Berlin to Montreal would be that there's just, more artists passing through the city, more bigger events happening, more institutions that are supporting arts, and especially kind of experimental or underground or avant-garde arts. And in Canada, that's just overall in Canada, that's a bit more complicated with that. I think this openness and towards the new and, accessible or like less accessible forms of arts is a bit maybe difficult to get funding in Canada or get visibility if you're doing that there.
For sure. Yeah, I heard like also from in comparison to the States, there's been, you know, this has been a topic. But I would like to talk a little bit more about, for instance, your performance practice. So we've talked a little about your creative process. Do you prefer the process of creating more, or does performing also hype you up in the same kind of way?
I'm definitely way more in the studio producing, or have been up until this point, producing way more than performing. And I've been also performing since 2015, but definitely been more of a, you know, like the sound nerd and the studio dweller and producing all the time and recording and not releasing and doing it all over again. But it is a really important part, because that's how you actually take what you've expressed to yourself and what you felt, and, you know, kind of something that made you transform within yourself as you were creating a certain piece, and you take that into the world and you let the world kind of interact with it. And that is a whole other game that I was not ready at some point, because it's very intimidating, because you take something completely raw and very vulnerable sometimes, and then you go, and then there's many strangers and friends and see it. But that was a thing maybe a few years ago. Now I'm just more like, oh, we live once, you know, we need to, like, sharing is good. We need to, like, it's fine if I do something, you know, that's like looking weird, whatever. We're all gonna die in the end, so it wouldn't matter. It's giving me a lot of energy and joy to perform my music to others and feel a response and feel the connection. And I think now I'm just way more comfortable doing that and less afraid than I was when I maybe started producing music, and there's just more trust, I think, in general, in this whole process of creating, sharing, and this interaction that's happening with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get into the feedback loop, and then it all kind of amplifies, maybe. And what about like your aspirations for the future? Like, what would be an ideal situation that you would find yourself in?
I want to continue performing and creating maybe bigger productions for my performances. Right now it's me on stage, you know, performing kind of for the microphone, and I want to add more lighting, like a particular lighting setup. I'm figuring it out what that would be, or visuals, and ideally more choreography into my performances, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's good. I was also like, I was scouring your socials for any information about you, and I saw your very sort of futuristic sleigh.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask if that's something like that you also think about when you when you visualize a performance, for instance, the way how a particular fit can and empower or convey a message in a performance.
To be honest, I don't think about it too much, maybe, you know, it's just happening kind of subconsciously that I'm like, okay, I'm feeling like this vibe more. That's pretty much how it's happening. You know, it's not very something I'm like pre-planning very hard. I'm just, okay, like what would make me feel cool on stage, basically. It's very much like this. and then I'm thinking, okay, would that be, you know, this or that? And then I'm just trying to be honest with myself. And then I try to create whatever would make me feel good on stage. And just also fitting, because you're performing, right? You want to be able to express what it is that you need to express and feel comfortable, but also feeling like you are, you know, a part of what you are performing.
So. Yeah, definitely. I'm a big advocate for wearing stuff, for not wearing everyday clothes when performing, you know, because I think that really elevates the thing. If even if just on a like personal level, you know, if you go on in a t-shirt, it has a different vibe than if you go with like a flamboyant headdress or something.
Exactly. Yeah, it affects you differently. Sometimes I just want to wear a hoodie, but you know, then I just I'm like, well, you can wear a hoodie when you DJ, maybe. But here we need to really feel what's happening and be in tune with the performance. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what about like some of the projects you're currently working on, or like things that we can listen to in the near future, like soon to be released stuff and stuff like that?
I actually just finished producing an album that I am kind of working on release plans for. Nothing is confirmed yet, so I can't really speak on that or the release date, but it's definitely, I think, my biggest body of work, or maybe the best productions that I've created so far. So I'm very excited personally about this, because I definitely have way more productions on my hard drive than I have stuff released. So that would be a big one for me. And I do play my unreleased tracks in my DJ sets. And when I play live, mostly it's also my unreleased material. So if you ever see me live, then you will know that you're getting the peek into something that's very special and unreleased and secret for now.
Amazing. And what a better opportunity than to invite all the listeners to come see you live so tonight, because this will be aired on Friday.
Yes.
Tonight at Channel Zero. What can we expect from the performance? Is it going to be a live set or a DJ set?
Yeah, it's going to be a DJ set, and it will be a high energy, very driving, fun set that's going to make you want to just merge and be glued to the dance floor.
Amazing.
Gonna be great. Everybody come.
I hope everybody will. Do you know at what time you're going on?
I actually just got this information today, but I need to check. It's definitely after 12.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The prime slots.
Yes, actually it is 2 a.m. to 3:30 a.m.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So everybody head there tonight, tomorrow night at 2:30. So Friday night.
Yes, Friday night.
Yeah, we will have to wrap up soon, but I still have some questions. So the first one would be more of a sort of lighthearted nature. For instance, if you had like 10K to put together an electronic festival,
right,
who would be your top books?
Okay, well, the thing is, I don't know the fees of some of the artists, right? So I don't know if the budget will be enough. But I would definitely put Aisha Devi, Landmark Artifacts. I would love to have Igloo Host there, Hajj, like my friend Abadir, Babi. Now, I don't know if I'm out of money at this point for the festival.
I mean, it's imaginary money, so we can just add a few couple of.
Okay.
But yeah, it sounds like a good festival so far.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many amazing, incredible artists that I love. It's kind of hard to say. I wonder if Salem is performing right now. I'd love to have them. I'm a big fan. But
It's good.
I would definitely love to have my friend Valeda also. She's an incredible artist to perform for sure. And Bill Kulig is to DJ. I love his DJ sets.
Amazing. I don't know those two, but I will look into it.
Yeah.
And maybe since we're going to play one of your unreleased tracks right now after this interview, maybe you would want to tell us or tell the listeners a little bit about the track. So maybe some anecdote from when you were producing it, or maybe some secret inside information.
You know, it would be nice to have an anecdote, but it's not a fun track. So it's actually more existential, I think, when I was making it. It's not exactly, you know, like a high energy club track, but we can call it a sad, deconstructed club track. But it's about kind of this feeling where you want to go into the dark, you know, hidden parts of yourselves, the ones that you maybe have been afraid to confront, and just kind of shining light on that, and really looking for, like, just wanting to stay more with it and let it kind of consume you, in a sense, so you get to understand it better. The feelings, the unexplored parts of your heart, in that sense, and let it kind of take over. You know, basically, it's about surrendering, I think, in this existential sense. It's not a very fun, lighthearted topic, but it is what it is. You know, that's.
Yeah, that's, we have to hold space for difficult topics as well.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, I mean, thank you so much for your time, Anna. What's the track called? Does it have a name already, or is just the unreleased track?
It's an unreleased track, and I'm gonna keep it the name secret.
Okay. Yeah. So the mystery track. This is the mystery track.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you again. And until next time.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you again for having me. This was fun. And yeah, everybody come on Friday. Hope we get to chat again later.
Yes, for sure.
Reš intervju je pripravil Jan Kopač. Intervju Radija Študent.